widespread revolt that swept the country against the 42-year rule of Colonel Gaddafi. What started as peaceful protests has escalated into an uprising, and many analysts now fear that the country is on the verge of civil war. Welcome to A Simple Question. I'm Ed Augustine. On today's show, we take a close look at recent events in Libya. But first, a quick video clip.
The widespread uprisings across the Arab world have now reached Libya. From early February, extensive demonstrations have taken place throughout the country. Protesters are calling for an end to Colonel Gaddafi's 42-year rule. These have, however, been met with a brutal response from Gaddafi's army. Meanwhile, angry campaigners have pointed the finger at numerous Western states for legitimizing Colonel Gaddafi's rule. Specifically, Britain's close relations with Libya have been called into question. In 2004, Britain's Prime Minister Tony Blair's historic and highly controversial handshake with the Libyan leader set the seal on a complicated trade-off. In return, Gaddafi reportedly agreed to stop sponsoring international terrorism and abandon his quest for weapons of mass destruction. Out of this, Britain also gained lucrative trade deals from the oil-rich nation. This includes a trade contract of £500 million between the oil giant BP and the Libyan dictator. Britain's leading academic institutions were also involved in deals with the Libyan dictatorship. Information disclosed by the whistleblower website WikiLeaks revealed that the London School of Economics agreed to accept 400 students affiliated with the Libyan ruling family to study and be trained in leadership and management by the LSE. The revelation came after the institution agreed to pay back £300,000 received from the foundation run by Saif al-Islam Gaddafi, the Libyan dictator's son, who studied at the university. An independent investigation into the London School of Economics' links with Libya has been ordered after the university's director resigned over the controversy. With fighting in Libya becoming more intense and mounting global pressure for the international community to intervene, Britain's Prime Minister David Cameron agreed to send RAF fighter jets as part of a joint international operation under the UN. The operation, which began on the 19th of March, aims to prevent Muammar Gaddafi's forces from mounting airstrikes against anti-government rebels in Libya.
A simple question. It's your weekly roundup of views and public opinion direct from the streets of London. We were out this week and we started by asking people what they think is going on in Libya at the moment. What, as you understand it, is going on in Libya at the moment?
Gaddafi's forces seem to be moving backwards and getting the rebels to move backwards and taking over, I think it's Benghazi, is it?
Well, there's a lot of trouble, and obviously it's going to affect the West with the oil and everything else, isn't it? You know, so it's not a good thing for us. It's not a good thing for the Libyans, but I think it's a serious repercussions and the world in general.
In your view, what are we seeing happen in Libya at the moment?
I think what's happening in Libya is a group of people getting together and deciding that there needs to be a shift towards a democracy, and power's been in the hands of one man for too long, and I think that especially as he's growing older and they see his son stepping up to the plate, they're worried that this is going to be a regime that just doesn't change.
Well, I think it's a reaction against sort of authoritarian rule and not having enough participation in the running of the government, running of the state.
In your view, what are we seeing take place in Libya at the moment?
I mean, it's somewhere between a civil war and sort of tribal confusion and chaos. So, and it's just a man trying to, you know, get his power back by force.
I've been following a lot on TV and in the papers and stuff, and obviously there's a lot of worry going on about the oil prices and things like that. I saw earlier today that they started bombing some of the oil infrastructure over there, so that's going to have a really heavy effect on oil prices, which in turn should have an effect on the stock markets all around and things like that, which could hinder the financial recovery. And, you know, we're all feeling the pinch.
What do you think is going on in Libya at the moment? So there's a lot of violence, there's a lot of uprising. How do you see it?
I personally think you're looking at the brink of civil war, if not civil war having already manifested. But I think it'll be interesting to see how the international community's response changes that and affects the developments on the ground.
What are your views on Britain's close ties with the Libyan dictator Gaddafi?
I think in hindsight, not very good. But at the time, we were probably making progress, and Gaddafi was, in a way, moving towards the West. That's the way I see it. Maybe in hindsight, though, as I say, it's not so good in this day and age.
Well, I think the British state and many Western states have been highly hypocritical for a hell of a long time, and that the main driver of any intervention or with other countries is to do with like the promoting the economic interests of states like Britain, including, you know, who they give aid to and how they give aid to them and what conditions they propose to put on it.
What do you think of Britain's close ties to Gaddafi?
I think that that's actually a major issue for the UK going forward with foreign policy, because they do have a lot of arms deals with other countries around the world where the regimes are probably not so desirable.
There's been a lot of attacks on British ties with Libya, and we can see that also with what's been in the press recently about LSE and things like that. But to tell you the truth, I mean, if you put yourself in the British government's position, it's an unenviable position, because the Middle East has mostly been stable for the past, 10, 20, 30 years. And it's mostly been through the influence of people like Gaddafi, who've been in power for so long. They've been able to stabilize their countries, improve them economically and things like that. So when you want to do a deal, I mean, for better or for worse, to help out your own economy, you're going to have to deal with some unsavory people. Now that things are starting to turn around, people will criticize, but at the time, I think most people would have done the same thing.
What are your views on Britain's close ties with Libya?
Well, when Libya opened itself up, and Britain, well, in the form of Tony Blair, really, and other ways, went into Libya to try and explore what is there to share with the rest of the world, I don't think the issue was the fact that Libya was opening up. The fact that Libya was opening up was a great thing. Sure, the famous things were Tony Blair going in for the arms trade, or indeed for oil, etc. But at the same time, certain universities, not other universities, also went in with a very open attitude, like, let's do joint courses. Of course, other universities started getting money for doing joint courses, and that's not such a good thing.
There is a danger that we fall into the zone of just thinking it was just Britain that was doing that. It was a whole world, and all of them knew that Libya had oil, and everybody was running. And I think at that point, in 2004, everybody started congratulating Tony Blair of, you know, actually getting the deal before the Americans and the Italians and the French and everybody else.
What do you think of Britain's relationship with Libya?
Well, I think it's pretty disgusting, to be honest, and it kind of exposes the hypocrisy of the war on terror. You know, like, Britain is very happy to align itself with terrorists when it suits them, when it's lucrative for them, when it's going to bring them big money in arms deals.
Well, you've heard what the public had to say. Now it's time to meet this week's experts.
What's happening is there's an uprising of the democratic movement. Unfortunately, unlike in Egypt and Tunisia, it hasn't resulted in the departure of the dictator so far. It has more of the characteristics of a civil war, of a full-blown war that is going on. And clearly, this is a very worrying situation for anybody who supports the democratic movement, because the Libyans are finding it very tough to get rid of Gaddafi, and I hope very much they do succeed in getting rid of him.
Europe and Britain have opted to go for the petrodollar benefits rather than the human rights value. Tony Blair was famous for saying about Saddam Hussein that never again would we allow such thing to happen. Never again. But I think that was just air coming out of his mouth. Because really, not only that, but up until November 2010, licenses to export high-powered rifles used by snipers have been sent from the UK to Libya.
Since the uprising began, pro-democracy campaigners have been quick to criticise some UK institutions, which they say are tacitly legitimising the Gaddafi regime. Now, one institution under fire is the world-renowned London School of Economics. It was revealed a few weeks ago that it had received a £300,000 donation from Saif al-Islam Gaddafi, one of the sons of Colonel Gaddafi. Now, the university drew even further criticism when it revealed it had cut a multi-million dollar deal with Libya to train public sector workers and professionals. So on our next question, we asked the public whether they think, for the sake of big trade deals, Britain's been willing to turn a blind eye to what's been going on in Libya. Do you think, in a sense, for the sake of trade deals, Britain has been prepared historically to turn a blind eye to the Gaddafi regime?
That's possibly so, but don't we turn a blind eye to lots of things? Even going back to the Second World War, we turned a blind eye to what Hitler was doing for many years. So I think it's just the way of life to some extent.
I would think so, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Do you think that, in a way, Britain might have been prepared to have turned a blind eye to Gaddafi's repressive regime because of the big trade deals they had?
Yeah, definitely. Because it's obvious with all, the Arab regimes, like Saudi Arabia, for instance, or Egypt, it's just a continuing pattern of Western countries, including Britain, just doing trade with countries who don't have good records of human rights or a democratic system or anything like that.
Do you think that, in a way, for the sake of trade and economic interests, Britain's prepared to turn a blind eye to Gaddafi's repressive regime, or has been?
Definitely.
Realistically, yeah. I mean, they would be prepared to turn a blind eye to a lot of things. And it's not just, I mean, when you talk of Britain, you're not just talking of the government as such, just the cabinet ministers. You're also talking about lobbyists who are obviously affecting those interests and big business, multinational corporations in the UK, who obviously it's within their interest, out of sight, out of mind. If they don't have to, you know, if people dying isn't affecting their trade, then they're not going to start complaining about it.
I think they have been, but I don't think that's going to continue for much longer because of all the focus on the region and the things that have been going on and, you know, him attacking his own people and things like that. It's gotten to a point where they'd lose more if they turn a blind eye than if they didn't.
Yeah, of course. I mean, at some point, Britain and the rest of the Western world decided that if Gaddafi gives up his nuclear program and his support of international terrorism, then it would be fine to ignore the other stuff and bring him close and do trades with him.
Do you think, in a way, that Britain was willing to turn a blind eye to what was going on in Libya because of the big trade deals we had?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been the same throughout all British history, all British foreign policy. When it suits them, they'll turn a blind eye to massive human rights abuses.
There's been aid paid by the British taxpayer to Libya. Official figures show that DFID, the Department for International Development, show a total of almost 2 million over the past 5 years have been paid to the Libyan regime. What are your views on that?
I'm not aware of that, I have to say, but if the 2 million was for humanitarian issues, then that's fine, but otherwise, probably not a good idea.
I don't understand, like, where do they draw the line to what's right and what's wrong?
Yeah, well, as far as I know, aid is never really given without some ulterior motive, and there's always agendas behind it, and usually, if not explicit strings attached, then sort of unsaid strings attached, if you like.
The Department for International Development in the UK, DFID, has paid almost £2 million to Libya over the last 5 years. What are your views on that?
At least they were paying someone something. No, I mean, it's not. I mean, obviously, you have to be responsible about where your funds are going. You can't just go around giving money to people willy-nilly. I mean, you've seen in the past aid, probably with the best intentions, actually be used, turned against the people it's meant to serve.
Okay, on the one hand, yes, it's fantastic that there is an effort to be made. But then again, there's the old argument of throwing money at an issue. If you throw money at it, somebody's going to catch it who's got the biggest hand, you know? But then at the same time, how easy would it be for the sort of development agencies and funds in general to go down to the Libyan people when you have a regime that controls literally everything?
Libya was, you know, getting billions of pounds or dollars, whatever, worth of surpluses in oil money. So if the money was going to get to people, that money should have got, you know, the money they made from their own natural resources should have got to Libyan people, not Britain trying to donate made and make it. I mean, 2 million probably didn't make that much difference to the country as a whole. It made some difference to some people.
Britain approved the export of rifles and other weapons to Libya just months before marksmen began murdering protesters in Tripoli. What are your views on Britain's arms exports to Libya?
I think exporting arms to any country is not a very good thing. They can only be used for one of two things, and that's either to suppress people or to wage war.
I think that they were fully aware of what they were doing when they sold those weapons. I mean, that's undeniable, but like I said before, if it's out of sight, out of mind, if it's not their, you know, if it's not the people who are profiting's direct family who are being fired, you know, fired rubber bullets at, then I don't think they're really going to care. Their pockets are full. And also, you know, it's in beyond that, beyond the people who are profiting, it's justified by the government and by a lot of people who would otherwise object to it, by the, you know, by them kind of saying, well, the economy needs it, especially in a time like this.
I know that some of the deals have actually gone through quite recently, and I just think that that's wrong. You know, I mean, it's obvious you've got an uprising starting up, you've got people protesting and things like that. You can't go off and sell weapons to the government.
What do you think about Britain's arms exports to Libya?
I think there's one word for it. It's desperate. I think, to be honest, there's so much there's so much throwing around of the words good, bad, right, wrong, and evil and brilliance. In essence, it shows desperation if you look at it. The arms trade in Britain, and when delegates go out there, are desperate to actually just get money, so much so that they're willing to do it by arms.
What do you think about Britain's relationship with Libya when it comes to Britain selling arms?
I think you're in a very difficult position between economic transaction and moral dilemma. The government's duty to uphold civil liberties abroad, as well as their duty to maintain the economy at home.
It's kind of a joke. I mean, yeah, it's okay if you send tanks or jets to some country, because that's only going to be used country against country. But when you send rubber bullets and tear gases, you know, I don't think ever in a war zone any soldier has used a tear gas to deflect the other soldiers. And they knew with his record that if there was an uprising, this stuff going to be used on him.
Well, that's what the public had to say. And now it's time to go back to this week's experts.
Well, I think, unfortunately, there's a very simple explanation for the ties between Blair and Britain in general and Gaddafi. And that is that there is a deal going on here where Britain gets the rights to oil and to gas in the country, and at the same time Britain provides Libya with a whole number of arms and weapons which are now being used against the Libyan people. So it's a fairly shameful deal.
Selling of arms is a lucrative business. Arms are will always be in demand. Arms business brings in a lot of benefit and profit and money. And even this present government, Cameron, for example, just before the before he came back from his overseas trips, he was accompanied by arms dealers from Britain, to sell arms to Egypt, to the rest of the world, wherever he could. And the question really is an important question. Morally, where do we stand with regards to selling arms? Do we sell arms to dictators knowing full well that he will be using these arms against his own people, knowing full well that he will kill the innocents and the citizens? Is that okay? Is that permissible? And I think that debate should be had. And I hope one day that we will say no, we will only sell arms to genuine buyers who will use these arms to defend themselves and not to oppress their people. I think there should be a moral code. And as I said, Colonel Gaddafi has had a number of licenses in his favor to export to Libya tear gas, to export to Libya high-powered rifles, to export to Libya ammunition, to export to Libya grenades. All these have been, sent to Libya as recent as November.
The relationship between Tony Blair and Colonel Gaddafi has recently been under the spotlight. In 2004, Tony Blair travelled to Libya to sign what's been dubbed the Deal in the Desert, a deal which spelt juicy contracts to British oil and gas companies in Libya. The deal also opened the door to British arms companies to sell weapons to the Libyan regime. On top of this, last year, one of Colonel Gaddafi's sons claimed that Tony Blair had become a personal advisor to the regime. We asked the public what they think about the relationship between Blair and Gaddafi. What do you think about the relationship between Tony Blair and Gaddafi?
To be honest, I don't have much good to say about Tony Blair. I think he was wrong to go into Iraq without... it was a lies on his part. And I'm totally against Tony Blair.
What about with Libya?
Libya...
His
I don't know. To be honest, I don't trust Tony Blair. You know, I really haven't got much good to say about Tony Blair.
Don't know a whole lot about it. But, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he sort of took on a kind of tutelage kind of role.
What do you think of the relationship between Blair and Gaddafi?
I think that Tony Blair, having left office in the UK, wanted to kind of legitimise himself in some kind of way, so he took on this role as a Middle East envoy and thinks that if he can become an expert in one of the most troubled regions in the world, then he can do something to kind of redeem the mistakes that he made in his term as Prime Minister. I think he's sadly mistaken, and he's actually exacerbating a lot of issues that already exist.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, to advise the regime would be, I think, taking it a step too far, if that proves to be true.
What do you think about the relationship between Tony Blair and Colonel Gaddafi?
It's so easy to speculate, once again. Speculation is something that is rife when we don't know what's happening. We want to know what's happening in this world where we get the internet and everything else, and when we don't actually know what's happening, we end up trying to finish off the answer. It is entirely possible, if not probable, that Tony Blair has a close link with Colonel Gaddafi and that the two are, you know, in cahoots. That's fine, in cahoots. But if we don't know it, we can't say anything about it.
Tony Blair, if he wanted to do the deal, if he wanted to get that signed, just go and sign this, but then keep a distant relationship, send an ambassador. You know, Britain had an ambassador after, I think, 20 years there. So that's what the ambassador's job is, to go.
Well, I mean, I think it exposes quite a lot about Tony Blair's role as the Middle East peace envoy in the first place. I mean, God knows why he was put there, especially given his role in the Middle East in the first place. So it doesn't surprise me.
What do you think about the relationship between Blair and Gaddafi?
I think if these allegations are true, it's scary development. I think it re-highlights the need for British political parties to stay true to their morals and their values in the international realm and not jeopardise civil rights in the name of diplomacy or trade.
Some people think that Western governments only decided to get tough with Libya once revolutionaries cut oil exports to the West.
I wasn't aware that they had cut the oil exports to the West. I thought the whole idea of this was to keep things as normal as possible and just bring Gaddafi's down, effectively.
Why do you think that Western governments didn't get tough on Libya until revolutionaries in Benghazi decided to cut oil exports to the West and draw the world's attention to the grave conditions of the Libyans?
That's exactly what you said. I think myself they made such a mess up in Iraq and Afghanistan, this country and their allies, that now they're afraid to really step in anywhere else. You know, they're holding back.
Well, isn't it Benghazi that they're thinking of? That's the target for airstrikes if they were to make them, which is a bit too ironic for my liking. I mean, you know, why particularly that town with its oil exporting, oil producing status?
Lots of governments around the world don't really act until their interests are at stake, because that's what they're protecting, is their interests. And oil is obviously a mate, you know, Libya is a source of oil to the UK, a source of oil to other governments, so the minute that becomes jeopardised, then they're going to have more of an incentive to act.
In the end, it's all about self-interest. I believe that the Libyan protesters, because they saw that there was no help coming in, they did that in order to get the West's attention, and it was a good move.
It could be both of them. It could be that rebels got Benghazi and then West decided that, oh, this is actually going to happen. These people might come into power and we should be nice to them just in case they came into power, and might be as well as the oil.
Some people think that Western countries only got serious about, only got tough with the Libyan regime once rebels in Benghazi cut off oil exports to the West. What do you think about that?
I'm not sure if that's true, but my instinct is to say, yeah, that's probably right. And that does tend to be, you know, a number of examples that prove that sort of thing, that the involvement of Western countries tends to be most proactive when there's material resources at stake.
Well, we've come to the end of another episode of A Simple Question, and we've had a big roundup this week of different views and opinions direct from the streets of London. Ever thought about getting in touch? You can always send us an email. The address is asimplequestion@presstv.com. That's asimplequestion@presstv.com. I'll be back next week. See you then.